You're listening to your Tabo podcast.
Hey, podcast.
You are listening to your podcast.
You are listening to the Tabo podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Tabo podcast. Once again, we have my manager, Eddie Nam.
Yo, what's going on? It's Eddie.
Dude, did you practice this?
I realize that I say what's popping too often.
Okay, but that was just way too awkward.
Too much energy?
Yeah, like I never do that again. Please.
Sorry.
So back when I was a kid, I never imagined that 2020 would ever come. You know, because
yeah,
I was born in the 80s. Can you believe that?
Can't believe it.
The 80s, okay? Grew up in the 90s.
You guys like… didn't even have like technology back then.
What are you talking about? Like
rubbing like logs.
Wait, when were you
for
born?
Fires.
In the 90s, right?
1990. Okay.
Well, I grew up in the 90s, but I was born in the 80s. And at the time, we all imagined like 2020 to never be a possibility. Because even Back to the Future,
mm-hmm.
remember Back to the Future 2?
Vaguely.
You've never seen Back to
no,
the
I've
Future?
No, I've seen it. I just wasn't impressed.
Okay, Diane, have you seen Back to the Future? Yeah. You weren't impressed? Well, because you saw it like retroactively.
Right.
So you probably thought all the gadgets and all that was like outdated.
Or, right.
You know, it's like watching Star Wars now. Right? The original trilogy. It's
right.
You wouldn't get it. But for us, it was like, oh my God.
It's like Lord of the Rings right now. Watching that is… it's pretty tough.
Dude, I slept through Lord of the Rings 3.
Recently or…
No, like when it first came out.
Okay.
I went to the theater. I attempted to see it like over 3-4 times, I think, in the theater. I never got past half.
You just don't like medieval things.
No, I don't… okay, that's…
you don't like Game of Thrones.
That's
you don't
what people
like,
think, right? But it's not medieval things that's the problem. For me, it's horses.
Yeah.
No, like yeah. I know… Diane, I know you think I'm kidding.
He's not kidding.
I am not kidding. Like, so I have a thing about horses. Ever since I was a kid, like I read a lot of books, but if the book had a horse on the cover, I couldn't read it.
But like, explain to me why.
Okay. I don't know what it is, but like…
does it gross you out?
So
does
I go
it scare
to a,
you?
So I went to a bookstore and you know how they had like books? Well, they still do, but like… like National Book Award, the Pulitzer Prize, right?
Yeah, the book
they
fair.
Have like a section with like the award-winning books. And I would always be like looking through those books and, you know, buying this one, buying that one. And then there would be a book with a horse on it. And it would have won a prize and it would, you know, it's probably a very good book. But it's just got a horse on it. And that would like totally turn me off. Like immediately. Any movies where like horses play a major part, I just couldn't for the life of me watch. You know, even like so cowboy movies were out for me, right? I could never watch them. Like westerns, I couldn't. Medieval, obviously, because it's horses all over the place. And then there are certain movies where the horse pops up when you didn't expect it. When you didn't expect it. Like it's an action film or like a sci-fi film. And then a horse comes out. And
it still doesn't explain why you don't like horses.
Okay, well, I don't know. I really don't know.
You don't like the way it looks? Is it because they're too smart?
I don't like what they symbolize. I didn't like what they symbolize. And let me clear this up for all you horse lovers, okay? For all you equestrians.
Because
is that what we call them? Equestrians?
Yeah.
Okay, well, horse lovers, let me clear something up. I love horses now, okay? Because I had a daughter and she loved horses. What can I do?
Loved? She doesn't like them
she
anymore.
She loves horses.
Okay,
loves. Okay, so she wanted to go horseback riding. She's like, you know, she was really into My Little Pony. Okay, technically they're not really horses. Those guys are like Pegasus and like unicorns.
Right. Unicorns.
So I went horseback riding with her. And think about what I must have gone through to be able to
shaking.
Do that. Yeah, like to be on top of this horse and watching its head like its hair in the wind as it's taking me somewhere, like, and it's just scary. But I've had a lot of horse experiences after that. So I now like horses. Mm. One day I realized that these are like magnificent creatures. Okay?
Yeah.
And I now I love horses, okay? But I'm saying back in the day, horses, it's just what they symbolize, I didn't like.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
What, like people taking over cities and like riding and, you know, cutting people's heads off?
I thought it was pretty whack for people to be riding horses.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't get like motion sickness, but mm-hmm. when you were describing that story of like watching this magnificent horse bobbing its head up and down,
mm-hmm.
make me nauseous. Very turbulent ride.
Yeah, it was. It was turbulent. Like it was turbulent philosophically for me as well, right? Because it's not just a physical thing for me.
Right.
Like I was against anything that horses symbolized. Like, you know, just like knights. Okay?
Yeah.
And like elves.
You don't like elves?
I don't know. If they're on a horse, no. Like, does Legolas?
Yeah, he rides a horse.
He rides a horse?
If he needs it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't like horses.
Dude, I'll tell you what I don't like about horses. Those little poop bags attached to the back of them.
That's another thing.
Dude, what's with the sling attached to the tail and then there's just a giant poop bag? Okay, first off, I'm against just like those carriages.
Why did I get here? Why did we get here? Why did we start talking about horses?
We're talking about like Lord of the Rings. Oh, you don't like medieval things and then you said I don't like
horses. Yeah, I didn't like any of them. Oh, I think it was because… So I don't like books like, you know, like the Bronte sisters.
No.
Okay. Well, so like Victorian books, you know, and there's horses in all of them.
Yeah.
They appear at least once. Okay.
Right.
When technically to drive the plot forward, you don't need a single horse in those books. Okay. But they kept popping up.
Right.
And it was like, it really bothered the shit out of me for some reason. Okay. If I watched John Wick 3 back then, now that I love horses, I'm fine. Right. I actually love that horse scene. But you know, have you seen John Wick 3?
Of course.
You know how he like runs into like a horse and then like, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to see this.
Sounds like you still don't like horses. Okay?
And then he's on a horse and he's like, you know, it's like man versus, it's like machine versus nature, right? So in your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, motorcycles
versus…
It's like
going through Times Square on a horse.
Yeah, and I loved it now, but… I love it now, but if I saw it like at least 10, 11 years ago, I would have hated it. Because the horse. I would have turned it off.
Tabo, I'm going to be a little controversial here.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I love horses now. I'm telling you, I do. I love ponies.
All right, dude. Okay. I have one thing I'm going to say. Maybe some people may disagree. But we're talking about horses and like… Not their purpose necessarily, but humans riding them, it just kind of makes sense, I think. Right? Well, like as far as transportation goes.
That's the part I didn't like about… Like that's one of the things that I don't like about what horses symbolize.
What?
Okay.
Transportation, effective transportation.
Okay, let's be objective here, right? Horses are beautiful animals.
You're going to make my point. I'll let you go. Go ahead.
No, they're beautiful animals,
beautiful.
Right? So the first person to ever ride a horse in history, okay, was like, let's say that was like what? When was that? Let's say that was like 600 years ago or something. Probably far,
yeah, maybe
far back. Okay?
Maybe the cavemen.
Okay, so like 10,000 years ago, okay, first guy to ever even like fathom getting on top of a horse and riding it, okay, was just chilling. In nature, like, you know, waiting for the next meal. Okay, so he's used to seeing like saber-toothed tigers and stuff.
Right.
But he sees this magnificent, like long-legged creature like running through like the open field. This flowing hair, right?
Right.
And the first thing this guy thinks is to ride it. Like, you know what I mean?
Dude.
I'm like, what? Like, okay, so this guy does not know if this creature is… Let's say this is the first time a horse has been spotted by man. Okay? He sees this horse. doesn't know if it's a predator or prey, okay? And let's say he, if the first time this encounter happened, he killed it to eat it, okay?
Okay.
And maybe he didn't like the taste of it. So he, the second horse he meets, he's like, okay, well, I'm not going to eat it. I might as well ride it. I don't know.
Dude, all of these questions you're asking, I can put myself in the caveman's shoes. Like all these questions you're asking.
Caveman didn't have shoes though.
Dude, all these questions you're asking, this is what I see. I look at a horse, magnificent, beautiful thing. But then I take a look at those teeth. They're not sharp. They look like they're just meant for eating straw.
They actually look like giant human teeth.
Right, exactly. So yeah. I'm like, hey, this isn't that scary in comparison to the saber tooth mm-hmm. who has knives sticking out of his mouth, mm-hmm. right? And then on top of that, I encounter a field full of horses just frolicking, doing horse things. I don't know what they're doing, right? But they're, I'm assuming they're going to be like chasing each other, having fun, doing what animals do.
Mm-hmm.
But as they're galloping, the stride is like very magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very fast.
Yes.
And I'm a caveman. I have like… my legs are like 2 feet short. Like I'm just a stubby, stubby being. But uh-huh. I need to get from point A to point B. And for me to basically hop onto that horse and basically become a team with that horse. And if that horse is okay with me riding him… right?
I mean, but how do you know the horse is okay?
Well, I'm sure there was a lot of trial and error. But I doubt that the horse was like gonna bite. I think they're more likely to kick you, right? Yeah. They're kickers.
Yeah.
I'd rather take a kick than a bite to the head.
That is true.
So it seems like you weigh up your options and you just go, I'll go with the horse. Here's a question I'll ask you. Why haven't we early on figured out how to utilize kangaroos correctly?
What do you mean? To ride them?
Yeah.
Dude, have you been face to face with a kangaroo?
I know they're violent now, but who's to say they were this violent?
Have you ever looked into a kangaroo's eyes like 30 centimeters away? Have you?
No way.
Dude, I have. Okay? It was like staring into death. Like sure death. Okay? I was just a kid, so I didn't know that kangaroos were that violent.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys will kick the shit out of you. They'll
box you.
They will box you, and if you're behind them, they will kick you. There's no way you can ride a kangaroo.
I just think we don't know what it was like because the cavemen, they're the ones that created all of these relationships with the animals early on.
Are there other animals we can ride? Like a horse? Camels.
Hippos.
Right? We ride camels, right?
Yeah.
Elephants. Some people ride elephants.
Right.
Honestly, in a perfect world, I don't think we should be riding any animals. Right? Like, but
maybe not anymore. But back then, I could totally understand.
Yeah, we didn't have an option.
Yeah, there are no wheels. We didn't have rollerblades.
Yeah, like whatever the movie you like. Game of Thrones.
That's a TV show.
But it's like a movie. Game of Thrones, for you to get across from one kingdom to another, right? You needed horses. I get it.
Right.
I get it. But I just don't know. I just don't like it. I don't like what this symbolizes. And like, there's just something about horses that bothers me.
But I don't know why you're taking it out on the horse. And I know you've come to peace with what a horse is and you're okay with
it.
No.
My problem was never with the horse. It was just the fact that they kept popping up in books and movies that I wanted to like read and enjoy. Okay?
Okay.
And this was a real thing. I'm not kidding here.
Like, yeah, I know. You told me that.
Yeah, people would ask me like, have you read this book? And I was a literature guy, so like I read almost every book. But there are certain books that I would be like, no, I haven't read that. And they'll be like, why? And I would say, because there's horses in it.
Mm.
And they would laugh their ass off. And I'm like dead serious.
Right.
I just couldn't do it.
Just leave the room. They're like, dude, yeah. That Tableau guy is really weird.
Dude, that Tableau kid is hella weird. But I love horses now.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
What were we talking about before you went on this horse tangent?
I don't know, but goodness. This has become the horse episode now.
Oh my God. Like, talking about stories and within stories like that.
How did we get here?
To the fourth degree. My goodness.
Okay. So, I think I said something about 2020.
You didn't think you were going to get past 2000.
And Back to the Future.
Right.
Okay. So, in Back to the future that they imagined… like the far off future that they imagined is the past for us now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was like 2015 or something. So that's the furthest they could imagine, right? And in their imagined future, there were like hoverboards, flying cars, and none of that is like truly happening, right? We're not on hoverboards right now, right? But still, in the last 20 years since Y2K, we've like as a civilization, oh my God, some of the things we've achieved are incredible. And I got curious, and so I was like, I was just Googling like what happened in the last 20 years, and some amazing like technological advancements have happened. For one thing, these cell phones, right? They've only been around for like 10 years, these smartphones.
Yeah.
But like the modern cell phone, like the small cell phone you can carry in your pocket in the last 20 years, like look how much it's changed. It's incredible.
Even from 2003 to 2008, in that 5-year span, it went from like, I remember the Samsung flip phones were huge. Oh yeah,
I had that.
And then like I remember…
They were huge, but ironically they were tiny. That's why they were so huge.
What I meant, yeah, huge in popularity, tiny in size.
Sort of like Eddie.
Huge in popularity. I'll take that. Dude, I remember getting that and becoming a T9 expert. You know, just really texting up a storm. I was very, very, very quick. But then, remember like the ringtone game was not very strong back then. And it drove me nuts.
What do you mean the ringtone game?
Like… okay, so like 2003. Having ringtones. Yeah, like let's use T-Pain's Buy You a Drink.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah, or like Timbaland's song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was like just the dial sounds that made the ringtone. Mm-hmm. But I would buy it for like $1.99. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a collection of like 20 ringtones.
That's how people used to flex back then.
Dude, I flexed all the time.
Yeah, like people didn't have IG at the time, right? Yeah. So that's how they flexed. Like… Having like the dopest ringtone, you know?
Yeah. It was like the Pokemon card binder at the time. Mm-hmm. Instead of that, I just had stacks on stacks of ringtones.
Yeah.
And I remember my mom would be like, why is your phone bill $40? And I just look at her and be like, mom, don't worry about it.
Musicians used to like really think of it as like a revenue stream. Like ringtones.
Were there like royalties attached to those as well?
Well, I don't know because the company that I was signed to at the time probably took it all.
Dude, iTunes eventually, they were like, make your own ringtone. I remember when that happened.
Yeah, you could buy a song and then turn it into a ringtone. Right. That changed the game. Like you could tell what everyone was listening to like in the restaurant whenever their phones went off.
You know what I never got into though?
What?
Is when… As you're calling someone, and then it was like do 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 do.
Oh, it, on your phone, like and
yeah.
And okay, that was called coloring in Korea.
A lot of people Haradi. Still do it here.
Yeah, but it's like that was hugely popular because what you had set as your thing when people call you, like because you want to like impress a girl,
right?
Right.
Right.
So you get like a song that makes you like before they even hear your voice. Like sets you up as like this kind of guy, right? So if you're like trying to present yourself as someone like that's very emo or whatever, right?
Right.
You'll like have like a really depressing like a you know rock song or something, right? Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to be like cool, you would have like a hip hop song. Oh my God, I
Dude,
can't believe we.
There's like there's definitely.
I can't believe you did all of this.
I never did it.
I didn't do this
Dude,
at all.
I'll call like. Your managers or something, like especially within Korean management, if you call like Eric's Korean manager, it has to be an Eric Nam song or
Yo,
something.
I it's actually hate like, that. Like my manager right now. Yeah, I called his phone and he's got my song on it, right?
Right.
And I'm like, I know for a fact he didn't have this like before he worked with me. So it's just weird.
But it's also like a… It's a calling card. It's something that they can be proud of, I'm assuming. When you call in, they're like, is this the right number? And it goes, don't worry about…
Did you have a razor?
Don't worry.
Did you have a razor? I don't want to… I'll just cut you off before you start making fun of my music. Did you have a razor?
I did.
Oh, dude. Razors were so awesome.
Cutting edge.
Yeah. before the Razor, I actually even had the StarTAC.
I don't know what that is.
The Motorola StarTAC? Yo, Google it. StarTAC. It was what StarTAC. All modern small phones try to be, okay? And this was when I was like in high school, I think. And a friend of mine was rich, okay? And he had it.
Oh, I know what this is.
Yeah, he had it. And I was like, what is that? He's like, it's my dad's cell phone. And you know, like
yeah,
kids would bring their dad's cell phone to school.
Yeah.
To like flex. And I'll be like, dude, that looks like a space alien tech. Like that's just crazy looking. And I'm like, dude, I need to get one of those. So I worked really hard. I did like jobs in high school and I bought one. But right after I bought it, way better phones started coming out. So I was too late into the game.
And you bought it used. So it had like breadcrumbs.
It actually was used.
And like the keys. Yeah, just it sticky. Actually
was used.
Oh God.
It was. But I had it for like a short moment and I was so proud.
Dude. What I wish never went out was that little cord that you would pull out.
Oh, you know,
when you flip it open and you pull the cord out. Yeah. Like, yeah, dude, talk to me.
Razors didn't have an antenna, did they?
No. I specifically remember that Motorola you're talking about had the cord, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that was balling.
Dude, but the Razor, I think, was the big thing right after that. Like, Motorola had that game on lock, okay?
Yeah.
And then Nokia started dropping like some dope phones.
Because they had Snake.
And they also had Matrix. The Matrix. You know the phone in Matrix 1 where like…
Oh, and it slides?
It slides out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that phone was really disappointing in reality because it didn't do the thing that the Matrix did, right?
And if you had…
It just looked the same.
If you had like a crumb in there, it's not a good slide.
It'd get jammed.
Right.
I had multiple phones. Like this is way before the iPhone or any smartphones.
But it was all within like a 5-year period.
Yeah. And it was building up to whatever…
Something magnificent.
Yeah. And I even had a phone called like Prodaphone. Do you remember Prodaphone?
No.
Okay. So LG, I think, and Prada did a collaboration and they made this phone. That I think was the first phone that sort of looks like what the iPhone became.
Uh-huh.
Like it had a pretty big screen.
Oh, dude, I remember this.
Yeah, and it was a very expensive, like luxury phone.
Had a keyboard, right?
Yeah. And this phone came out when like a year after Epic High finally made it. Like we had a song called Fly. And that album did extremely well. And we were now on like a national radar. And so we had some money. And Two Cuts and I went to buy this Prada phone. And we thought it was like… We thought we had made it. Like we thought life was, you know…
Is it actually a Prada phone?
It says Prada on it.
But is it Prada?
What do you mean?
Like the actual brand?
What, did you think it would be like a fake Prada?
So you're telling me Prada tried to get in the cell phone game?
So Prada and… So LG was making the phone.
Okay.
And it was a collab with Prada.
Got it.
So they designed it together.
Like a Supreme type Louis Vuitton.
Yeah. And it was at the time it was like holding a piece of gold. That's what it felt like, right? So Tukas and I went to buy this phone and we bought the phone and we're at the time, like when you buy a phone, it's not just a SIM chip change like it is now, right? So it's not a simple matter. So you have to sit down in front of someone that helps you and that person like, you know, you have to fill out some papers to own the phone. So I'm doing that and sitting next to me, some girl is, she bought a new phone and she was putting the screen protector, the sticker on the thing. And she was like, I could only see her hands and the phone, right? I didn't like look over, but she was like, applying the screen protector onto the phone like so carefully, okay, that it was like, I was like, whoa, like that's a lot of care to take to put on that screen protector.
Right.
So I'm like, so I said to her actually, I didn't even know who she was. I was like, I don't think you really need to put that on, right?
Yeah.
And Two Cuts standing behind me is like, dude, like if…
Dude, why would you say that to somebody?
I don't know. Because she was taking so much care with it that it seemed arduous. Like it seemed like she was having a very difficult time putting it on.
Right.
And… But the thing is, what I said was sort of just like that. But Two Cuts being the guy he is, okay? And just think about it. He just blew up. Okay?
Yeah.
Epic High just blew up. So this guy… I'm so ashamed of this moment. But Two Cuts… says to this girl that we've never, you know, we haven't even seen her yet, you know. Two Cuts is like, yo, like if it gets scratched, just buy a new one. Oh my god!
Oh,
right,
man.
You know the way Two Cuts, and I remember what he was wearing too. He was like, he had sunglasses on, and it was like the Louis Vuitton, like
nice,
you know. So flashy for no reason.
Okay, well, he just made it.
I didn't even know why I hung out with him at the time. But anyways, Two Cuts says this. And this girl, I can see her hands stop. Okay? Stops. And then she just like takes it off. And then just walks out. Okay? That girl is my wife right now. Can you believe this?
That's amazing.
She walks out and the employee that was helping her is like, oh, that was actress Kang Hye-jung. And I'm like, what? Oh my God, we made total fools out of ourselves. I'm like a huge fan of her. Oh my God. Oh my God, really? And they're like, and then I look back at Tuka and I'm like, why'd you fucking say that? Dude, that was so lame. And Tuka is like, oh man, right? And so this was like years and years before we actually like became a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I first met her, like for real, like I was like, what if she remembers this thing?
She definitely remembers.
And I was like riddled with guilt and shame, right? That I had to mention it first. So I was like, Do you remember like a long time ago, like you were like, it was at a phone store? And she's like, yeah, I remember. And I'm like, oh, that's such a coincidence that like, you know, we met like this again, you know, like maybe it was meant to be maybe, right? And she's like, that's not what I was thinking. Right? And she's like, and her sister dropped by and her sister was apparently there too, right? And her sister was like, yo, I remember that too. And Two Cuts, oh my God, what a… she said that like, what a douchebag. That's what they were thinking for years.
Well, I mean, how could you not?
Yeah. And the Prada phone, but me buying the Prada phone, you know, it was interesting. It's an interesting…
I didn't think you were going to bring that full circle. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it could have never happened. Just because of a phone.
I feel like it's so fitting that he almost ruined your marriage.
Yeah.
before
it could happen. Well, I should have never said that too though.
Yeah.
You know? But she was like standing… she was sitting like right next to me. And it looked like she was struggling with the screen protector. Mm. And I'm not a fan of screen protectors. I believe that phones should be made so that you don't need screen protectors. And if you need screen protectors, they should put it in the damn box!
Sounds like a pretty…
This phone that I bought traveled to many different places to get to me. Took it out of the box, put it in my pocket. That's all I did. Took it out, it's all scratched up.
Dude, it went from like…
This guy didn't last 24… Oh my God, Two Cuts is calling me. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, he is.
Hold on. 정식아, 아, 이거 지금 내 팟캐스트 녹음 중이야.
아니지?
투카, say hi.
Hi, everyone. This is DJ Tuka.
Yo, if I didn't stop him right now, he would have started cursing like a mofo. Say hi to all of Tableau Podcast fans.
Hi, everyone. This is DJ Tuka.
You know what's amazing? Tuka.
Yeah.
우리 옛날에 핸드폰 가게에서 휴대폰 가게에서 그 혜정이 처음 봤는데 혜정인지 몰랐을 때 있지.
아.
그 프라다 폰 살 때.
아, 촌스럽다 그랬지.
너가 그거 뭐 하려고 붙이냐고 긁히면 새로 사라고 그런 거 기억나?
아,
yeah, we were. 진짜. I was just talking shit about you and you called me. All right, bye. I'll call you later, okay? Yep.
Oh my god. What an amazing laugh.
Yeah. Strange how he always calls me when I talk about him.
He definitely has a deal with Apple and he's always listening.
Yeah. Anyways, and then the iPhone came out after this. And I remember you had a great iPhone story. Like you told me something when we were drunk.
Yeah.
And it was a really long story, as it always is with Eddie. But it was something to do with iPhones. I don't remember much, but I remember that I laughed.
Yeah.
What was you it? Laughed. Do you remember?
I like vaguely remember what it is, so I'll just give like a Spark Notes version of it. But as we were talking about like the phones leading up to this point, right? Mm-hmm. From like 2003 to 2008, it's like Razors. I think BlackBerry's at like 2007 was killing the game.
Yeah.
Nokia before
I had
that.
A BlackBerry.
Yeah. And I think BlackBerry had just monopolized the market. Yeah. They were like high-fiving each other every day saying, yeah. we made it, guys. Like we just took over the business.
Yeah.
And then the iPhone dropped. And I'll never forget it. My story was the first time I saw an iPhone.
Like in real life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was on my way to a soccer recruiting trip. It was like a tournament. And my teammate sitting next to me on the bus, he had like his hoodie up. And he was just… He was acting different. You know, he wasn't looking me in the eyes. He was being a little bit more reserved. I'm like, dude, like, what are you hiding from me? Like, what's going on here? I look over. He takes his hood off. He's got these beautiful white headphones in.
Like earphones.
The earphones. Oh, yeah. The earphones.
The ear pods.
The ear pods. And it's just like white and sleek. And it's connecting into this phone.
Oh, dude, this guy had it under the hood.
Dude, and it was so cool looking in hindsight. Because like the tacky thing would have been like, dude, look at my
iPhone. Check out my phone.
It's amazing.
Yeah, why would you need a screen protector? Just buy a new one if it scratches, right? That would be the tacky thing to do.
You could just, you know, you would be very overt about what you had. But, mm-hmm. you know, he was very like Sith Lord about it. Just very like took off the hood and was like, oh, what's up, bro? I saw these ear pods and I was like pretty shaken.
Mesmerized.
I was like, dude,
what is that?
And you're like, oh, he was like, oh, this? Like, and he like unveils his
Oh
phone.
My God.
Dude.
He said, oh, this?
I mean, this is just like from my recollection.
And then just does the reveal.
He revealed it. And I remember the slide to unlock feature. Oh. It was like a beautiful image. It was like it was one of those stock Apple images, like a green pasture or something.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Or like
gosh.
The space one.
Now
oh, it was the space one.
Now like I remember.
The purple, black space one. Oh, he's like, oh dude, let me show you this. I just got this because my dad loves me. Dude, he slide to unlocks it and it makes that like click sound. And then all of the widgets like come into
shape.
Oh
yeah, I remember.
I was like…
Oh
dude,
man.
My brain… it was like frozen. I was like… What is this?
What?
But as like most like high schoolers, you can't be too impressed.
Yeah,
but
because you lose.
Yeah.
You're losing.
I'm like… Yeah, like… Okay, cool. Like, show him what this thing can do. He goes over to like the green message thing.
And oh, yeah.
Clicks on it. Again, it like zooms into like a whole chat room of things.
And mind you, now it might seem slow, but at the time, everything seemed pretty damn fast.
Dude, it was
instantaneous almost.
It was my one moment because I remember like, because I grew up and computers existed.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, it's like when Haru. Saw television is doing stuff. Dude, he opens it up and he's like, oh, like, I'll show you how it texts. He clicks on like the little notepad.
Yeah.
He clicks on it in the top right corner and he types in dad.
This is the first iPhone ever.
First iPhone I've ever seen in my life. First of all, I didn't even know that this thing was
the first
in production.
iPhone that when it first came out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was it was probably the day, like maybe the day after that. He must have waited in line. He's like texting it and it's making that like click, click, click.
Yeah.
And it's like DAD and then message like love you dad or something, right? Dude, I was pretty shaken up by that whole process. And then, you know, because there are no buttons, I was like, oh, dude, like texting must be so difficult. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh no, it's like, look, try it. And I like try to make mistakes. But it was just too smart. It knew exactly what I wanted to say.
It was just brilliant.
Ew. Like I have chills thinking about it right now.
They called it the Jesus phone.
Who did?
The media.
Oh,
man. Because it was like a messiah.
Yeah.
Of technology, you know?
Right.
Oh my God. I remember the first time I saw it too now.
And it was so expensive that they softly started introducing like this tablet type of format. Because remember like then was it the iTouch? Or what is it called?
iPod Touch.
Yeah, iPod Touch.
Yeah.
Then the iPod started converting into just touchscreen.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, this doesn't have internet. But like it has all the features of an iPhone. And so slowly everybody started acclimating to this and how it worked. And like even the email option, I'm like, dude, incredible.
Just the fact… Okay, for me, I actually got to like actually use an iPhone a little later than you guys probably. Because it came out a little later in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a friend of mine named Filter, the producer.
Mm-hmm.
He produces a lot of Dynamic Duo stuff. And he was like a big fan of Apple. So he brings this thing to the studio. And at the time, I had a label called Map to Soul. And he was one of the artists at the label. So he brings this phone to the studio. And he's like just holding it. And I thought it was like from afar, I thought it was an iPod Touch. You know? And then I walk up and like… It's something I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's the iPhone. And I'm like, oh, that's the iPhone? Whoa, what can it do? And then he opened an app. It was a toilet paper game where you like go like this and you unroll the toilet paper.
Yeah.
And as stupid as it sounds, that's what blew me away. Okay? It was like when cavemen discovered fire.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Like, whoa! 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 Yeah. And then Mithra walks in. It's like, what are you doing?
It's like, Tabla, why are you in tears?
Yeah, he's like, whoa. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, what? Whoa. And I pass it on to him. And he's like, whoa. Whoa. Right? We was both like, whoa, whoa.
Filter's like, get your greasy paws off my phone.
This and I was like, and I didn't want to lose to this guy. So I was like, that's all it can do? I was like, I'm not going to get that. That's too expensive. And then I got it. Actually, my wife-to-be and I both got it. We both bought it.
This was in your marriage year?
This was, yeah. And then this was the 3GS. Okay?
So it's the second model?
Yeah. But that was the first model we got.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of us were like unrolling toilet paper like crazy. Just at home. Like, woo.
Just bonding.
Woo.
Angry Birds took over the game.
And then
too.
Angry Birds came out. Literally, I downloaded almost like 3,000 apps, I think, for no reason. And it was all a waste of money because they were all like that toilet paper app, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
That's but interesting.
Totally changed the game.
I mean, for those of you that were born into the iPhone generation, like this is not an exaggeration. Like it went from like a very simple phone with very limited, like just Snake as the game with terrible ringtones to just, it went from 0 to 100 like this.
And I actually like thought to myself that this must be alien tech. You know what I mean?
Right. And you're not even joking right now.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, so Roswell happened. Okay. And they have this. They have the UFO.
The WB show, Roswell?
Yeah, like, you know, Roswell is an actual event. Like, didn't in the 50s. No. There was an alien crash. Well, it's not verified, of course, but there was an alien crash. And so the government has the UFO and the alien. And that's what is in Area 51.
Okay.
So this crash happened. So they have this UFO that they've been trying to figure out, right? Like how it works and stuff like that for the last like 50 years, let's say. And then let's say scientists figured out how to reverse engineer so that they can use some of the tech that these aliens were using,
mm-hmm.
right? And let's say that was being used for this tech, okay? I thought to myself, this must have been done. Like this retroactive like engineering must have been done because reverse engineering must have been done because the leap, like you mentioned,
yeah.
from Prada phones,
right,
and razors to whatever this is, was such a huge leap that that was the only way I could understand it,
mm-hmm.
to come up with these conspiracy theories, right? Like that it must be, we must have reverse engineered alien tech.
Right.
Because like, slide to unlock?
Yeah. Passcodes?
I'm like looking at the glass, trying to look under the glass. I'm like, how does it know where I'm touching?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
It was your Zoolander moment.
Yeah, it was. It was basically my Zoolander
moment. The files are
inside the computer? And I'm like, wait, it knows where I'm touching? How?
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and the leaps since then has been even more amazing, right? Like with cars, with rockets flying into the sky, you know, like just like Elon Musk.
I mean, that's all cool.
Drake?
But yeah. That's all cool, but…
Okay, Drake was entirely invented in the
2000s.
Last 2010. Like 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay? So, would we have Drake without smartphones? I don't know.
Not quite so sure.
Yeah. Changed everything. Streaming.
Everything is going through that.
Yeah, like literally everything in the world has changed because of the iPhone.
For better or for worse. Of course, there are a lot of unintended consequences with this access. But
yeah,
we're just talking about the good.
Yeah, trying to focus on the good parts.
Right.
Yes, some amazing things have happened because of this little thing. Not so little anymore. It keeps getting bigger.
Every time you flip that over to me, like those three lenses are so jarring.
Yes, it is the iPhone 11 Pro.
I hate it.
I wish I put a screen protector on. Because I can't look at the screen anymore. I heard
it scratches pretty
It scratches easily. Pretty easily. You got to take care of it.
Yeah. It's like another… I'm not going to say it was intentional. But how about the dongles, you know? The converters. It's like almost like Apple did another deal with the screen protecting company.
Yeah. True.
Where like I want 50% of all of your sales and we'll make a… So, crazy screen.
Eddie's got a thing against iPhone 11s because his employee, Brian Koh, who's at our management, he bought one and I bought one. And currently, Eddie's the only one that has the old iPhone, right? You have the 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brian and I were talking about it in the chat room that he's in. And he's like, you know, he doesn't need it. And we're like, well, we're not talking to you right now. We're talking to each other.
I'm like always like a second behind in the correspondence because y'all are just faster.
We're just much faster. We're working with like much better processors right now, right? So this guy's text coming really slow. And then Eddie's like, I don't need it. And then I think he kind of enjoyed it when he found out mine got scratched. he's like, ha ha, I told you. You don't need that. And then we went to China to do a show. Like I was performing at a festival and Eddie was backstage, like he was taking pictures of the whole show. And so was Brian. Okay. At the end of the show, as Eddie always does, he's like, let me airdrop you these amazing pictures and videos I took. And I was like, thanks, Eddie. And then Eddie airdrops them to me. He took a lot of videos and some great photos, I think, that in his mind. And then right after that, Brian's like, oh, so these are some of the photos I took. And then shows me his photos that he took with his iPhone 11 Pro. And immediately I was like, I'm sorry, Eddie, but I'm going to have to delete every single picture and video you just airdropped me. Because I need to make room for Brian's pictures.
I didn't fight it though. I acknowledged it.
Yeah, he was like, he saw the pictures and he was like, oh, I'm really, dude, really sorry.
It was like DVD and Blu-ray. When I saw Blu-ray in comparison to DVD, I'm like, get this VHS quality out of my face. You know?
Uh-huh.
But with this too, like it… My phone right now, it's useless. I don't even want to take a photo anymore. It's like I'm it looked like I had taken photos through a microwave door.
Okay, well, that's ironic because with me, because I scratched up the screen and I don't even want to look at it, all I can do is take photos. Okay, so like
you're using my phone to look at the photos you took.
Yeah, and I got to take photos with this one. This is just a lens for me. Camera lens for me, okay? Well, anyways.
So from horsepower to iPhone power.
Okay, dude. Well, Diane just pointed out that from horsepower to horsepower. So Teslas also came about in the last like 10 years, I think. I think it was 2008 that the Tesla first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like the last 20 years has been like… Very, very important for the future, I think. And this all happened after Y2K, which we were all convinced was going to be the last moment of civilization.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were in 2000?
Yeah. I was in third grade, baby.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was in love. I had a lot to lose in third grade. You guys already know all of my third grade stories.
Okay, shit. Yo, this is a eye opener for me because I think I was in college when 2000 when Y2K happened, and I remember I was at a friend's house party. Okay, and it wasn't like someone I really knew. It was really far off from campus. We get there and like it's not really a party. I think because these guys were convinced that the world was going to end.
It was a party. You guys had like tinfoil hats on.
I mean like you won't remember any of this because you know you were way too young. Like Y2K probably wasn't an important thing to you. But do you remember like…
No, people were scared.
People were saying that like the entire banking system and all our… Anything that's connected to the internet is going to crash because it was never engineered to last beyond 2000. Right? So everything was going to go haywire. And so I went to this party and mind you, like a lot of people at Stanford were like engineers and they were like computer people. Okay. So they were really into this thing. So I get there and it's like, it's not even really a party. It was just the TV on and waiting for the countdown at Times Square, you know, like the televised countdown because for them, this was countdown to like zero. Okay, this was the Fight Club moment, you know,
right,
where the whole world just crashes. And they weren't celebrating. They were afraid that this was going to happen and hoping it won't. But so they're all in the living room. Like we had like beer and that was underage drinking. and like, you know, chips and stuff like that. And just with the TV on waiting for this moment, right?
Capri Suns.
And I'm like, oh, this… Yeah, we had Capri Suns.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is the shittiest party I've ever been to. Like, I came here expecting something else. Like, if the world is going to end, we should just party it up. And I'm like, this sucks. So I'm just sitting there. And then I had to go to the bathroom. And this is this guy's, like, some guy's house. Okay? So I go to the bathroom. I get in there. And the bathroom is just not that great. But anyways, I sit there, do my thing. And… It got clogged.
Oh, so you went number two.
Yeah, it got clogged.
Okay.
And I like immediately panicked because this is like some stranger's house. Okay. And there are people out there.
Right.
And I had to unclog this thing. And they didn't have like a great unclogger.
Yeah.
It's the one where it just like folds back.
You know. Yeah.
Might as well
it's
not
the
be
cheap,
there.
Cheap rubber.
Might as well not be there.
Yeah.
I mean, here I am like unclogging this thing.
Right.
And outside I can hear like the countdown about to happen and like the excitement growing, right?
Right.
The world is about to end. And I'm here in in the bathroom. My world has already ended. Okay? I walk out there, everyone knows what's I've been in there way too long.
Right.
I'm doing everything possible to unclog this goddamn thing and it won't work.
You're hoping that the world collapses in this moment.
Yeah, it just I'm like, is this toilet connected too? Like can we have everything go to zero? And that's why I remember like Y2K.
So how did it end? Did it unclog?
It ended I eventually unclogged it.
Okay.
The world didn't end. So it was a happy ending for all.
Right.
You know? But that was my Y2K moment.
There is…
I was hoping it would end actually.
Dude. There's nothing worse than clogging a stranger's toilet.
Yo, it's happened so many times. Well, no way. No,
dude,
but it
how
does.
Much toilet paper are you using, dude?
My wife asks me that.
Yeah.
She's like… Is it like a biological thing or like…
It's toilet paper.
Toilet paper. And I think it's toilet paper.
Definitely.
You know like… And I have a really sad story as to why that is. Why I'm that way. Why I clog a lot of bathrooms. I don't know if I have time to tell it right now.
No, I think it's worth telling.
Should I tell it on the next episode?
You could. Humiliating stories.
What a cliffhanger, huh?
On next week's episode.
On next week's episode of the Tableau Podcast. Why does Tableau always clog the toilet?
And why does he use his left hand, not his dominant hand?
What are you talking about? Why would I be using my left hand?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Find out next week on the Tableau Podcast. Bye, guys.
See ya.